Hello, and welcome to another edition of the LinuxQuestions.org podcast. First up, LQ updates. I'd like to wish all the listeners out there a happy new year. 2005 was really an exciting year for LQ, and I'm looking forward to 2006. The recent code upgrade went extremely smoothly, all things considered, and things are now finally starting to settle down a little bit. We're still looking for feedback, though, and would really like to hear from you, whether it be an audio comment, an email, a post to the forum, or even a post to the LQ podcast site. There are a lot of changes to a lot of different sections there, and your feedback is critical to making things in the future go as smoothly as they possibly can. The first LQ news story I have, LinuxQuestions.org reaches 2 million posts and 200,000 members. So I'm very proud to announce that LQ recently hit those two milestones. We've certainly come a long way, that's for sure. When I first started LQ, which going back about 5.5 years now, I had no idea that it would grow to become what it has. Been a fun and interesting trip, and I'm happy to say that we're really just getting warmed up. As I've just mentioned, we recently redesigned the site and have a bunch of new things coming your way real soon now. I'd like to thank each and every member for making the site what it is today. I'd also like to give an extra special thanks to the mods. They volunteer their time to make LQ a better place. We quite simply wouldn't be nearly where we are if we didn't have what I consider to be one of the finest mod teams on the planet. As always, if you have any suggestions on how we can make the site better, please do let us know. We really do listen. And that could be a suggestion of many different aspects, be it a small feature request or even a large area where you think a new site is in order to address something that just isn't being addressed by another site properly. Next LQ news story, infrastructure upgrades at LQ. With the code upgrade at LQ completed, I decided to do some infrastructure upgrades that I had putting off far too long. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, I made the switch from PHP 4.4 to PHP 5.1.1, and just a couple days ago, I made the switch from Apache 1.3 to Apache 2.2.0. Yeah, so far, things seem to be running extremely smoothly, almost too smooth, really. With multiple changes this big, I expected more problems than we ran into. And it could just be that they're waiting for a more inopportune time to rear their heads. Whenever something happens with LQ, it inevitably seems like it's at the worst possible time as far as where I am. I'm either on a plane or somewhere where I didn't get the page or something that just works out to be inconvenient. But like I said, it's been a good couple weeks for the PHP upgrade and a solid couple days for the Apache upgrades, and things are looking very smooth. I do have to say that it's great to finally have a dev server to test these changes out on before I roll them out to LQ. For many, many, many years, probably the first 5 full years of LQ, any changes I wanted to make, I either had to make on a local machine of my own, which obviously wouldn't have been a direct replica of LQ, or I just made them on the live site. Now we have a dedicated dev server that's an exact replica of the live site. So these changes, I roll them out there first, test the upgrade process, make sure everything runs smoothly, and then roll everything out to the live LQ site after that. Now it should be interesting to see how Apache 2 and PHP 5 compare to our old Apache 1 and PHP 4 setup, with the serious traffic that we get. Anecdotally, it seems like Apache 2 uses a bit less memory, but that may just be a result of the long uptimes that I'm used to seeing Apache 1 with. Apache 1 I wouldn't restart for literally months at a time at some point, where I've only seen Apache 2 on the live server up for probably 24 hours at the most at this point. I would definitely be interested if you notice any speed differences or any kind of differences on the site, do let me know. One thing to keep in mind, though, is that we ran a fairly modified and tweaked version of both Apache and PHP when we ran the older versions. With the Apache 2 and PHP 5, they're mostly stock as it is right now. As I get more comfortable with the stability of the new setup, I'll get to more and more tweaking. In fact, I just made a couple additional tweaks last night. Now on to the news. I posted on my blog about a week ago that the Creative Commons needed help reaching their fundraising goal for the year to prove quote-unquote public support for some kind of tax reason. I donated on behalf of LQ and encouraged others to do the same. It looks like they reached their goal and did so in quite an unexpected way. With about a day left in the year, Microsoft sent them a check for $25,000. Definitely have to give kudos to Microsoft on this one. We're all critical of them when they do something silly, so we should be able to praise them when they do something good like this. The next story I have, while on the topic of Microsoft, is Microsoft's Top 10 Challenges for 2006. A publication called Directions on Microsoft has listed Microsoft's Top 10 Challenges for 2006. While a couple of the items were interesting, one really stood out to me. And that one was, quote, deliver clarity on managed solutions, end quote. And before I get into this, I should also note that I think at least two items are missing from their list, but I'll get into that hopefully another time. So why does deliver clarity on managed solutions stick out to me? Well, one area that Microsoft has usually gotten kudos in is the way that they treat its channels. It may have strong-armed its customers and its business partners in the past, but the channel was always immune to that. The fact that they are now cannibalizing that is a sign to me that they are a little nervous and looking to generate cash in ways that are, in my view, a little bit short-sighted. If they lose even a small portion of that huge channel, their sales will eventually definitely suffer. And with them scooping up huge clients like Energizer, it's inevitable that some channel partners will get a bit jaded and start offering non-Microsoft solutions. After all, if you actually have to compete with Microsoft for the managed solutions business, how can you really win in the end? This may be the sleeper downfall of Microsoft in 2006, and it's something I'll definitely be keeping an eye on. The next story I have is Dell pre-installing Firefox in the UK. Looks like there's been a lot of speculation and finally, actually, some affirmation that Dell is indeed pre-installing Firefox in the UK, which is awesome. And while it's fantastic for Firefox, it might not make a huge difference in the actual acceptance numbers, since from what I've seen, IE appears to be the default still. I have heard a couple rumors that that might be switching where Firefox would actually be the installed default, but I haven't got confirmation of that yet. Now, it will likely make a small difference, even if it's not the default, just as some people will click the logo out of curiosity. And it is a nice logo, which is a benefit there. The bigger news here to me, though, is that Dell is finally standing up, albeit in a very, very small way, to Microsoft. They simply would not have done this, say, 3 years ago. One can only hope that this goes well, as OpenOffice seems to be the next logical step if it does. From there, a true Linux pre-install from Dell hopefully wouldn't be too far off. Now, maybe that EU decision did have an impact, even if it's only a psychological one. And in a somewhat related story, kind of a part two to the last one, it looks like Dell is standing strong in its decision to black Blu-ray, which it had a hand in creating, despite Microsoft's pressure and, even more importantly, large incentives to back HD DVD. And one of the companies that jumped as soon as they got the incentive was HP. And like I had mentioned a little while ago, the Dell-Microsoft partnership definitely is not what it was just a few short years ago. The power balance is slowly starting to shift, and when you add in the legal scrutiny that Microsoft is under, they just can't strong-arm some of their business partners like they used to be able to do. If a major vendor like Dell started to, like I said, preload OpenOffice as a default and then offer Microsoft Office as like an upgrade, it would have major, major implications. Not only would it impact Microsoft's profit center, but the precedent would then be set, and I think other smaller vendors would then follow suit. It'd be a chink in the chain or a kink in the armor. Now, Dell, I think, is poised to step out of the shadow that has been in and be able to make some decisions like this without the fear of retribution that it always had. Now, does this mean that you'll soon see the real Linux preloads from Dell? No, I don't think so. Not anytime in the near future. But someday, I do think it's inevitable. And like I said, I would say they're probably testing the waters with the Firefox pre-install, move to OpenOffice maybe 6 months, even a year after that. So say 2007, 2008, you could realistically see a vendor as big as Dell offering Linux as a viable option across models, across platforms, not some, you know, model that they have hidden that actually ends up being $20 more than a system with Windows XP, but an actual legitimate choice. So on that one, I don't think it's a matter of if, I just think it's a matter of how far away that someday is. The last story I have is Business Week looks at how open source did in 2005. There was a recent Business Week article that looks at what they consider the five biggest open source events of 2005. Now, as was the case with one of the previous stories, I'm not sure I agree with all of them, but it's always great to see the mainstream media positively reporting on open source. I think one thing true about 2005 is that CIOs did buy into open source, and I mean that literally, they bought in. Companies such as Red Hat did extremely well. And in this initial adoption phase, though, companies seem to just purchase open source as they did with closed source and proprietary items and software. In a couple years, when they realize the true benefits of buying into the ideals of open source and not just open source software itself, it will be interesting to see how companies like Red Hat do. Now, I'm going to guess that they'll adapt to the times and flourish, but it's going to be a major shift even for them. These are fat times in a lot of ways, and things are going to get much more competitive, I think. And that's good for everyone, though. Someday, I look forward to a day when the vendors that do the best monetarily are the ones that treat their clients the best and have the best product. In the past, no one's ever been fired for buying X mentality has ruled far, far too often, in my opinion. That's all I have for now, but thanks for listening. And remember, if you like the LQ podcast, head over to podcastalley.com and vote for us. Thanks.